Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
It's Christmas. It's great, isn't it? It's no secret among my friends and my family that I love Christmas. What's not to love? I was just saying before that Christmas is always a busy time, but even that doesn't bother me. There are so many things that I love. I love wrapping presents. Better get some more paper before I actually finish wrapping the presents. I love Christmas kids' stories. I've shared two this week, one with the English conversation classes and one with the Ladies' Fellowship. This is the Christmas story that all starts with S. Suddenly, zillions and squillions of supreme supernatural singers sprung skyward, smothered the stars, and started singing up a storm. I love Christmas music. In fact, I listen to Christmas music nearly all year round, on and off. But I love Christmas music. I love Christmas food, except I don't really like Christmas pudding. I even love cooking at Christmas time. I love all the things we do with the salvos. This is my precious collecting container that Sarah does not like. Apparently, they're from the old south of the Salvation Army. It's called a pistol grip because that's how you hold it. But she says you can't get the money in there, but I always can. I love that. Some of the band were down last night at Combank Stadium and we had a good time. People said to us, it feels like Christmas now that we've seen the salvos. I love Christmas decorations. I've been collecting pine cones on our morning walks for the last month. Dave's not really a big fan, but they're to decorate the table on Christmas Day. I have a whole heap of them, so if you need any, come see me. We have Christmas decorations up all around our house, like many of you probably have, the Santa babushkas. But you know, I love the nutcracker. We have a couple of these at home. This is Felice, as in Feliz Navidad. We also have Noel at home, as in Noel. I love the Christmas lights. These are ones that have been in the garage because somebody in my house hasn't put them up on the veranda. I love Christmas movies, good and bad. But most of all, I love the Christmas story that is found in the scriptures. And what I love about the Nativity story is that it came out of God's love for us. What I really love about the Christmas story, actually, who I really love is Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I thank Jane and those who put that together for us this morning. I've long been a great admirer of Mary. I see her as a woman of God, a faithful woman who is committed and who is willing to live out her faith. Well, in the Gospel of Luke, Mary is introduced to us in chapter 1. And we are told that Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favoured woman, the Lord is with you." The scripture goes on and says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Well, we know the story, don't we? We know that the Bible tells us that Mary and Joseph were pledged to be married, but they were not yet married. So it's no surprise that as we keep going through the Gospel of Luke and in chapter 1, verse 29, it records that Mary was confused and disturbed, and she tried to think what the angel could mean. Angel Gabriel obviously sensed and quite possibly saw the look of concern on Mary's face. For in verse 30, he says these words that are so well known. Do not be afraid. But we wouldn't blame Mary if she were afraid, would we? Perhaps she had the option of leaving Joseph. Joseph could have assumed that she had been unfaithful to him. She could have experienced rejection from her family and her friends. I'm sure she experienced gossip from the community. She even risked the possibility of being stoned to death. Doesn't sound all that great, does it? She was young and she was from Nazareth. Apparently, Mary was a young girl from the wrong side of the tracks. For Nazareth was a town with a bad reputation. Some 30 years after Jesus was born, when he was calling his first disciples, Nazareth still appeared to have a bad name. It's recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 1, in verse 46, that Philip tells Nathanael that they have found the one that Moses spoke about, Jesus, the son of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And what does Nathanael reply? Nazareth, can anything good come from there? You know, just almost 7 years ago, our family moved to Adelaide. And we moved there in January 2015 with our two sons. And we lived there for 6 years before moving to Sydney this year. Well, when we first arrived in Adelaide, people would say, oh, where have you come from? And I'd say, oh, we actually came from Victoria, from Geelong. And they would go, oh, Victoria. For some reason that I never really understood, there's always this kind of rivalry stigma between South Australia and Victoria. So I learned very quickly to actually tell people that I had moved from Victoria, so I wasn't lying, but then would say, oh, but I'm actually a Western Australian. I was born in Western Australia. And then they were quite happy with that, actually. The fact that I had not lived in Western Australia since I was 5 and a half had nothing to do with it. But they were, more interested in the fact that I was born in Western Australia rather than I had lived in Victoria. That's not to say that nothing good comes from Victoria. My kids were born in Victoria. Can any good come from Nazareth? People knew that Nazareth was not a great place to grow up and live, apparently. Quite possibly, this would have been going against Mary as well. An unmarried woman from the dodgy end of town, pregnant yet engaged to a respectable man who had a good job. As the angel went on talking to Mary, he said some more words that we are so familiar with. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Favour with God. I wonder what was going through Mary's mind during these couple of sentences that Gabriel spoke to her. You think I've really found favour with God? I'm a young, insignificant girl who hasn't slept with a man, and yet I'm pregnant. Seriously, have you got the right person? Out of all the queens, the princesses, the daughters of the wealthy and the influential, God is choosing me, a poor teenager from a town with a bad reputation, to be the mother of his son, Jesus. Obviously, Mary is not like me, which may be a good thing because she doesn't say any of that. She does reply with a question, though, when she says, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. Gabriel answers her question, and by verse 38 of Luke chapter 1, Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. May everything you have said about me come true. In this statement alone, we see her commitment and her dedication and her trust to living out her faith. I believe God chose Mary because she had two vital characteristics that he looks for: humility and faith. She knew that she was not worthy of the honour that God was bestowing upon her, but nobody was. Nobody is. But she had a humility and a faith that is to be admired. God asked something of her and she willingly obeyed. May everything you have said about me come true. I often read William Barclay's Bible studies, and on this particular passage, Barclay says that Mary's submission is a very lovely thing. Whatever God says, I accept. Barclay goes on and says that Mary had learned to forget the world's most common prayer. Thy will be changed, says Barclay. And instead she prayed the world's greatest prayer, thy will be done. Thy will be done. She accepts God's will for her life. It is God's will that she was to carry his son. In order for God's kingdom to come, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, then his will needed to be done through Mary. In order for the story to play out in its completion as we celebrate, as we remember at Easter time, God's will needed to be done through Mary. If you continue to read on through Luke chapter 1, you come to my favourite scripture verses about the birth of Jesus. These words, often known as Mary's Magnificat, say this: my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. The Mighty One has done great things for me. He has done great things for you. When you hear the story of Mary, when you hear the Christmas story, what do you identify with most? Perhaps you need to hear the words that Mary needed to hear: do not be afraid. Perhaps you need to be reminded that the Lord is with you. Through the ups and downs of life, God is with you. Do you need to ask, what is God's will for me? Does your soul glorify the Lord, and does your spirit rejoice in God, your Saviour? I want to go back just for a moment to John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 46, which actually has nothing to do with the Christmas story at all, really. When Nathanael asked, can anything good come from Nazareth? And do you know what Philip replied? Philip said, come and see. Come and see what has come from Nazareth. With all this stuff for Christmas, it is just stuff. We need to come and see. Come and see the newborn king. Come and see the Son of God. Come and see Jesus, the Saviour of the world. On Wednesday this week, my sister-in-law, who lives in Melbourne, sent me a photo of a picture that my niece Eva drew. Over the last few days, I have looked at this picture multiple times. There is something in this picture that I really connected with. Perhaps it's because it has been drawn by a family member. Some of you may be looking at it just thinking it's another image of the nativity scene. But what captivated me most, and where my eyes first went when I opened this on my phone, was the image of Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, kneeling and worshipping the Son of God. Kneeling beside the manger where her newborn baby lie. Kneeling beside the manger where the Son of God lie. We sang earlier these words, the very first words we sang this morning. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him born, the King of angels. Mary, a woman of faith who lived out her faith, whose soul magnified the Lord, knelt before the Son of God, her baby. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Come, all ye faithful, come and see. Come, people of faith, come joyfully and behold the King of Kings, for he alone is worthy. Be like Mary. Recognize Jesus for who he is and come and see and worship him this Christmas. Shall we pray? Our God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift of Jesus. And this morning we want to come and we want to see Jesus afresh. We want to worship him. We want our souls to magnify him, to magnify you, because you have done great things. We want to bow and we want to worship Jesus for who he is, the Son of God. May our hearts bow in worship again this day, I pray in your precious name. Amen.